ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so this is the month of love. Amen. Is it the month of love now? Or it's not the month of love? It's the month of Nigeria. Okay, it's the month of love. Anyway, Pastor has been preaching about love for the past 2 weeks. And so I'm just going to continue in that line again this evening. Praise God. Okay. Don't sleep, oh. I know that there was traffic. There's still traffic. So if you are feeling sleepy, just get up and walk around. If I catch you sleeping, I'm going to call out your name. Just joking. Hallelujah. Okay, so I titled this The Love for God. But as we go along, you can just give it any title you want. Praise God. And I'm going to build on what Pastor had taught in the past 2 Sundays. I actually wanted to go in a different direction, but as much as, you know, as I found myself just, this is just where it just came, you know, just came back to. And I think I understand why it came back to this. At the end of the, you'll understand why as well. Praise God. So I'm just going to give a, like an intro or like a background, and then I'll continue. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13:8. And we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures, so just go along with me. It's a Sunday, it's a Wednesday service, not a Sunday service, so it's more, you know, more of a teaching, as it were. Okay, so Romans 13:10, says, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. 13:10, yeah. So love is the fulfilling of the law. And of course, Galatians 5:22, love is the first named fruit of the Spirit. How many of us know that? And you know, when we were talking about joy last year, I think I said something about how, for me, I don't know whether, when you list something, when you make a list. So let's go to Galatians 5:22. When you make a list, the order in which we may say that it doesn't matter, all of them are fruit of the Spirit, yes. But the order in which they are arranged should suggest something to us. Praise God. So he says, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and it continues. But the first fruit of the Spirit mentioned is love. Praise God. So that tells us something about the importance of love. Hallelujah. Says love is the new commandment of Christ. And we see this in John 13. Can we go to John 13? And this is a scripture that I saw. You know, you have some scriptures, and then there's some that just, anytime I come across this, I'm like, okay, do we actually understand the scripture? John 13:34, it says, a new commandment I give to you. And this is Christ speaking. It says that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And the one that actually gets me there is the 35. It says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, it is by love that they know that we are Christians. It's not by speaking in tongues. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, Pastor was preaching from there on Sunday as well. He listed all of the things that you can do. But without love, it's just empty. So, you know, this 35 says, by this all we know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that's so key. Because it seems like most of the time we don't understand that. Hallelujah. Are there living souls in this place today? Because I'm saying hallelujah, I'm not getting any response. You are that tired, even to your mouth. Please speak, open up your mouth and answer. Praise God. Thank you. So love is the new commandment of Christ. And he says that in the obeying of this commandment, like I read, that is when our mission will be visible and believable. So without love to ourselves, this our mission, you know the mission that we are on now. Abi, do we know the mission? It says to go into all of the world and preach the good news. So that's the mission we are on. But without love for one another, this mission will not be believable. Praise God. The mission will not be believable. So this is so key, but that's not where I'm going today. As I continue, you will understand. It says, so God is love. God does not have love. God is love. Everything that God does, all of his actions, is out of love. Praise God. Imagine if all of our actions are out of love for one another. Just imagine that. Imagine if all of our actions were out of love. Praise God. So God's love extends over all of his creation, whether born again or not. God's love extends over all of his creation. And I love brought us here. The reason why we're here is because of love. Hallelujah. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. The reason why he gave is because he loved. That's the reason why he gave. It says, God so loved the world that he gave. Praise God. 1 John 3:16. Can you display that for me? 1 John 3:16. It says, by this we know love. How do we know love? Because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we know love? Because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:9. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So love brought us here. The reason why we're where we are is because of love. The reason why we are in the kingdom of God is because of love. Verse 19, please, of the same chapter. He says we love him because he first loved us. If he didn't love us, there was no way we could have understood what love meant. Praise God. So love brought us here. Tell yourself, love brought me here. Love brought me into the kingdom of God. Praise God. So the love of God is committed. How many of us know that? The love of God is committed. He doesn't, on Sunday we had relationship weekend and we're talking about sex because it is the month of love. So we're doing, you know, love. And we're talking about sex. And it was interesting to me when we read 1 Corinthians 6, I think. I'm not telling you to go there. Talking about how we should not have sex before marriage. And the way message rendered it was as if sex before marriage was devoid of commitment and intimacy. When you get back home, just read that scripture. That, I think, entire chapter in the message. It was quite interesting because he just said it, that the sex before marriage is devoid of commitment and intimacy. So, God is committed. If we are doing anything and we're not committed to it, we are not showing, that is not the DNA of God. The DNA of God is commitment. God is committed. The love of God is committed. The love of God is self-giving, is sacrificial, is strong and holy. We talk about agape love. Pastor has preached about this for the past 2 Sundays. And that love is not the one, it's not self-seeking. It's sacrificial. Agape is sacrificial. It's strong and it's holy. Deuteronomy 7:8-9. Just follow me. There's quite a number of scriptures, but we must read those scriptures. Deuteronomy 7:8-9. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This was when Moses was saying goodbye to the Israelites and he was just, you know, cataloging everything that had happened. But he says, therefore not know that, okay, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Go back to 8. 8. He loves us and he keeps, can you imagine? He swore to our fathers. And that oath is still in effect still today. So the love of God is committed. Praise God. Thank God that God is not like man. All of us would have perished. Because we woke up one day and say, I love you. And then the next day you say, you are falling out of love. Who does that? Man does. But God does not. Hallelujah. So thank God for the love of God. So we are commanded to love in ways that reflect the love of God. We are commanded to love in ways that reflect the love of God in all these dimensions. What are the dimensions? I said it. The love of God is committed. So we're supposed to reflect love with commitment. We're supposed to be self-giving. We're supposed to show love sacrificially. We're supposed to show love strong and holy. Praise God. And so, like I said, I wanted to go on the tangent of loving one another, but I could not. So I went back to this. And what I discovered is that if we don't get the love of God right, we will not be able to love our brothers the way we have been commanded to. If we do not understand this love between us and God, we will not be able to do what we're supposed to do with our brothers. Praise God. And so I ask, how are we to love God? How are we to love God? God requires that we love him. God desires that we love him. How are we to love God? How are we to love God? Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We're going to 40. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Go back to 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If you don't get this right, that second part of it, of loving our neighbors as ourselves, we will not get it right. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So how are we to love God? Mark 12:30. He's saying the same thing, but I want us to look at Mark, the way Mark said it. Mark 12:30. He's saying the same scripture. It's also in Luke, Mark 12:30. He says, and you shall love the Lord your God. And please just go along with me. He says, with all your heart, number one, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I wish I was a good illustrator like PP. I actually wanted to do something on the board for us to see, but I'm going to improve on that as time goes on. So there are four things there. Love the Lord. This is how God wants to be loved. And this scripture is gotten from Deuteronomy 6:5. You can go back to it when you get back home. Deuteronomy 6:5. This was God talking to the Israelites as well. And this is how he desires for them to love him. 6:5. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Praise God. I'm going to read one very interesting version of this scripture that I saw. It's called Easy English. Don't bother looking for it. Just listen. You don't have it. Praise God. Mark 12 and 30. Okay. It says, and you must love the Lord your God. Love him with all your mind. Love him with all your life. Love him with all your thoughts. Love him with all that you do. Praise the Lord. And you must love the Lord your God. Listen to it again. Love him with all your mind. Love him with all your life. Love him with all your thoughts. Love him with all that you do. I'm going to read it again. And you must love the Lord your God. Foundation. How? Love him with all your mind. Love him with all your life. Love him with all your thoughts. Love him with all that you do. Praise the Lord. So, I go back to the, just note that, I'm going to come back to that. That Mark 12:30, give it back to me in NKJV. And I'm just going to talk about, you know, the four different ways that God requires that we love him. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. For that heart, we can substitute spirit. Because sometimes, you know, we do, in the scriptures, they do heart and they do spirit. So, you're supposed to love your God, the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your spirit. That's the innermost part of your being. So that love should come from the recesses, the very deep recesses of your heart. You know, I make a joke. I was talking to one of my sisters. I said, we're watching TV, and I was saying, I think they were doing, you know, when they do all these love scenes, the Nollywood love scene. I was telling her, I said, Africans don't know what love is. We both understand love better than we do. I said, when you see an Oyibo person doing this thing, it is so real, it's so believable. But for us blacks, you can see the struggling. What am I saying? For most of us, myself included, maybe because of our culture, I don't know, but love is, yes, we are coming along, but it's like a strange phenomenon for us. True? How many of you agree with me? We are coming along, yes, but we still do not understand the concept of this love. We are coming along. We're coming along. You know, we don't, because, you know, you when you love, you show it. And that's showing in African, it's just now that we are getting to see it. Because, you know, you make the joke that you see a man and a woman, they have six children, but you never see any sign of affection. You're wondering, how did this happen? Praise the Lord. We are not good at showing. I think maybe we feel that it makes you look weak. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But we're just coming along in this. But God desires that we love him from the innermost part of our being. Praise God. And then the second one says the soul. And you know this now, if you have been in church for long, man is a spirit, has a soul, lives in a body. You know all of that now. Abi, we know that. If you are not a newbie, you should know that. Man is essentially a spirit. Huh? He has a soul. He lives in a body. Okay? So, the soul. God desires that we love him with all of our soul. And the soul is the seat of the feelings, desires, affections. The spirit is the seat of conviction. Your spirit is a seat of conviction. When you say you are convinced, you are not convinced. Conviction. No, you know it's different from being convinced. Convinced, you can be convinced because there are logical reasons why. No, conviction. You know, when you say you know in your knower, that knower is your spirit. Praise the Lord. So God wants you to be convinced in your spirit about this love, and then the soul is the seat of the feelings, the desires, the affections. So God is saying that in all of your feelings, in your desires, in your affections, I need you to love me. I need you to love me. Praise the Lord. And then he says the mind. And the mind is the seat of understanding. So in that your mind, as you are thinking it, God is saying, love me in all of your mind. And lastly, strength. And here, strength typifies the body, like I said, because we say we are a tripartite being, the spirit, soul, and body. So strength, loving God, God is requiring loving him with your ability, with your might, with your power. So what is left? What is left? Can anybody ask? Is there anything left? So the love that God is requiring from us is the one that is all-encompassing, all-consuming. God wants us to love him with everything we have. And I'm going to digress. This is not where I'm going, but I'm going to digress. You know, so when we're talking in church about money and then some people are arguing, it's because you do not understand what is required of you. We're not saying that we should not think. Of course, God has given us a brain to think. But the reason why you will question anything that you see in the scriptures is because maybe you still don't understand the kind of love that God is requiring from you. Okay. So God requires that we love him with everything we have. Everything means everything. Spirit, soul, body. Everything we have. If we love God, as a result of this love, and we say we love him, if we love him, these are some of the things that should happen. Number one, we will love his word. We will love his word. Our love for the Bible is an expression of our love for God. So if we're quoting some, you know, we're talking scripture now and say, no, this is the 21st century. It's very, that is, you know how we do now. Say, no. This, that scripture cannot be read like that now. It shows our expression for the love of God. If we love God, we will love his word. You know, we easily claim to love God without obeying his word. Say, I'm not a saint. We're all work in progress. But you know, you easily say we love God. In fact, I remember there was this song that we used to sing then. We don't sing it again, no. Darling Jesus, darling Jesus. Why are you laughing? How many of us know the song? Oh, my darling Jesus, you're a wonderful Lord. I love you so. For a long time, I didn't used to sing it. Because for me, I think about what I say. So I'm saying, if I say I love God, maybe at that time, there were some things I was not doing right. So when they are singing that song, I just keep quiet. Because for me, if I love him, some of those things that I was doing, I would not be doing them. Do we get it? So, we easily claim to love God. We don't think about it. We just say it. You know, we sing. There's so many songs now that we sing that has to do with the love of God. We just sing it. But we don't really, you know, internalize what we are singing. So, if you love him, the life that the Bible is teaching, that the Bible is saying to live, we will live that life. Praise God. We will live the life. And the life that the Bible is teaching is easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. True. But it is the kind of life that our flesh will not, you know, want to abide with. Praise God. So the life that the Bible is teaching is a costly one. It's a life of practical obedience to God through Christ. John 14. Let's see what it says. I have a couple of scriptures in here as well. John 14, verse 15. John 14, 15. It says, if you love me, it's so simple, straightforward. Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Go to 21, verse 21 of the same chapter. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. To 24, please. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent. It's so straightforward. If you love God, you will keep his commandments. 1 John 2, verse 3 to 6. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. 1 John 2. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. We're going to 6. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. To 6, we're going to verse 6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. How did Jesus walk? Hallelujah. How did Jesus walk? When you get back home, you can search that. But we're saying here that if we say we love God, then we must obey his commandments. We must obey his commandments. Somewhere he says that his commandments are not grievous. We must obey his commandments. To profess Christ while ignoring his commands is self-deception. It's self-deception. We know that parable when Jesus was saying, at the end of the day, when people came and said, in your name we preached, we healed, we said, he said, depart from ye workers of iniquity. Why? Because yes, you can do the works. Because the Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So if you are gifted and you are called, it doesn't take it away from you. But here it is saying, if you love me, you will obey my commands. James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's so easy for us to say we love him. You know, we have a way of, our mouth is just so fast. We're just talking. But sometimes we need to give thought to what it is that we're saying and what we're doing. Number two, if we love God, we will care about what belongs to him. I remember sometime last year, I was talking somewhere, preaching somewhere about prayer. And I was saying that, you know how we do. We pray, when we say, now everybody's praying for Nigeria because you know what is at stake. But before now, assuming I came up and said, let's pray for Somalia, I'm sure some people will be looking at me like that.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,